Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Just like everybody else, we are live today at Bridgestone Arena where the Nashville Predators take on the Dallas Stars tonight. That's right, tonight, right here, the opening night of the NHL season for the Predators right here at Bridgestone Arena against the Dallas Stars tonight at 7 o'clock right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Because the only place that I can guarantee you that you will be able to get Predators hockey this season every single time you go looking for it is 102.5 The Game. And our app, the Game Nashville app, has all of the game streaming. And so if you want to listen to the game, you can listen, go to thegamenashville.com. If you're like, where is the hockey game? Because tonight it's ESPN Plus. And we'll get to ESPN Plus here at some point today. Tonight is ESPN Plus. And I heard Vingan say this on the way out. Ian, I thought this was so disingenuous, not on Vingan's part, but kind of on the NHL's part. They said, tonight's a nationally televised game on ESPN Plus?
Hey, it's national.
That's, no, it's not.
It's global.
No. By the way, all the games are on ESPN Plus. We'll get to ESPN Plus there. I got to stick up my rear end about that. But I'm in a happy mood today, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there's always something about opening day, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey. There's always something where now it's like, all right, season's here. Life is normal again. And I'm not going to get too worked up one way or another if the Predators win tonight and they beat Dallas or something. I mean, hey, it's one hockey game. Scott Wedgwood's going to be in net tonight. Who knows? But it is kind of the time where everybody puts it on the mahogany, where everybody takes their preseason predictions and they say, this is what I expect out of my team. This is what I think is going to happen this year. This is what the Predators hung on to it so much a couple years ago that when I think they had a disappointing season. After they got swept by Colorado in the playoffs, they kept saying nobody thought before the year that we were going to make the playoffs. Nobody, apparently, except Joe Rexroad, thought they were going to make the playoffs. And I've seen all sorts of predictions for the Predators this year, from missing the playoffs, which I think would be crazy, to winning the Central Division and whatnot. And, you know, it's hard to pick against Edmonton right now, as hot as they were at the end of last year, and the player that they have on their team. But everybody thinks the Predators are in the mix one way or another in the Central Division. And I'm not sure it matters in hockey in October if you're the favorite with a U or not. But whatever anybody else says, that doesn't change my expectations for the 2024-2025 season. And my expectation, ever since the Predators were aggressive on July 1st, and added the three big names, Brady Shea, Jonathan Marchessault, and Steven Stamkos. Ever since the Predators put their chips in the middle, my expectation has been the same. Make the second round of the playoffs. Because I think I've been doing this long enough that I know that once you make it to the second round of the playoffs in the NHL, anything is possible. And I'm willing to accept if they get to the second round of the playoffs and they lose in six games because they didn't play their best, puck didn't bounce their way, another team they played got hot, maybe they run into in the second round of the playoffs one way or another because either they're not as good as we thought they were going to be or the Predators aren't as good as we thought. You run into a McDavid in the second round of the playoffs, which is not likely, but is possible. You're toast. Some of these places like Toronto and Edmonton and Boston and these other places, they think getting to the second round is like a bad thing. We should have gone further in the playoffs this year. But that's not really how the NHL works. I've been covering hockey now for, gosh, this has been my 12th year. First year I ever was covering hockey was 2013, that half season. After the lockout, I covered the Boston Bruins when I worked at WKXL in New Hampshire. That team made it to the Stanley Cup Final. I have covered two teams that have made it to the Stanley Cup Final. I have covered a President's Trophy team. I have covered numerous coaches, star players, big moments, controversies. I'm not going to say I've seen it all because, again, It's hard to see it all, but I've seen a lot. Enough to know that I think the only expectation anybody can fairly have going into a season is the second round of the playoffs. Because once you get to the second round of the playoffs, they don't reseed. And if you're the second team in the division, now you're playing the first team in the division. And maybe the first team in the division is the best team. You might be the second best team. You're playing the best team in the second round. It's just how forcocked the NHL is. And the margins in this sport are so razor thin at times. Goalie gets hot here. Guy gets injured there. Bad call here leads to a power play. Now it's, and so again, I'm not going to sit here and say cup or bust, because I don't think that's realistic. So I want to be fair when it comes to my expectations this season. And I expect the Predators to have a good season. I expect the Predators to be in the playoffs pretty much the entire year. Like, I don't expect us in January to be sitting there saying, well, you know, they are one spot point clear of a playoffs. But no, I expect it by U.S. Thanksgiving, which is usually kind of the line of demarcation between pretenders and contenders. I expect the Predators to be in the mix firmly. And I expect the Predators to finish top three in the division. First, second, third. I mean, again, this team they're playing tonight, Dallas, people think they may win the cup, and they might. Colorado still has Nathan MacKinnon. Now, Colorado's got some problems, but Colorado still has Nathan MacKinnon. Winnipeg last year had a great season out of nowhere. So, again, I'm not going to sit here and say, I expect the President's Trophy. I expect a cup. I expect a... That's not how it works. I think you can expect a cup if you have a great team, and the Predators have a very good team. I wouldn't say they have a great team. But I think you can expect a cup over a number of seasons. But I don't think you can actually expect a cup in an individual season because, again, this sport is fickle. And it is, of all the socialist government sports, it is the most conservative. Like, it is the most, when it comes to the cap, it's the realest. There's no adding void years to a contract. There's no soft cap in baseball with the luxury tax. There's no bird rights or mid-level exceptions like the NBA. And again, if you want a great player in hockey, you usually have to draft it, and you usually have to draft it first, second, or third. So, to me, this is the sport where, again, the margins are tiny. So you can't say, oh, I expect a Western Conference final. You don't even know. They may draw the best team in the league in the second round. Edmonton may, knock on wood, because I don't want to root for anybody to get hurt. McDavid may get hurt, miss two-thirds of the season. All of a sudden, Edmonton makes it as a wild card. And now, because you win the Central Division, you get Edmonton. Those things are all possible. So, again, I'm putting my expectations for this year at the second round of the playoffs, which would be the first time that this team makes the second round of the playoffs since 2018, which also happens to be the year, the last time, the Predators were actually a Stanley Cup contender. I expect the Predators to have two lines that can score. I expect the Predators to have two pairs on defense that can actually play. And I expect the Predators to have elite goaltending after the first month of the season, because we all know UC Saros is a slow starter. So that's a long-winded way of saying, I'm excited. I'm excited for the start of the season because I think this team can compete. And I expect this team to compete. You know, years ago, we launched the Jared and the GM program in 2016. God, that's so long ago, but it doesn't feel like it. And Jeff Kolb, who works at our office. You guys know Jeff Kolb. If you know him, you know Jeff Kolb's kind of a stay out of harm's way guy. He don't like to cause problems. I didn't know Kolb when he was a young guy. My gut is that he probably caused problems when he was younger. So now he's like he ain't trying to cause no problems. So we made these huge things. We started the Jared and the GM show. We were so excited about it. And I said to Kolb one day, I said, Jeff, what do you think of this? You know, he's been in all these meetings, but he hasn't said, you know, oh, I think this is going to be a great show, or oh, I think this is going to be. And he looked at me and he goes, I feel like a team that's gearing up to try to go win the Super Bowl. And that's, when I heard that, I was like, that's right. That's what this chair to the GM show, this is what we're going to try to be. So when it comes to the start of the season tonight in the Predators, and it's like, okay, what's this team going to be? What do we think? What do we want? What do we hope? What do we expect? I mean, I'm expecting a hockey team that's gearing up to try to go win the cup. I know they're not going to be the favorite, and they shouldn't be the favorite. I know that they've got question marks on their team, but everybody has question marks on their team. Florida has question marks on their team. But I think they've got as good of a shot as anybody else. They should be elite on the power play with the coach they have and the players they brought in. They should be elite on the penalty kill with the goaltender they've got and the defensive pairings they should have. They got the right GM, the right coach. I think they got as good of a shot as anybody else. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025 here on opening night as the Predators get set to take on the Dallas Stars. Now, there is, for what I expect to be a big season, there is one kind of disappointing element, I think, to opening night. But the story that follows it for the season is going to be a big deal around here. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company live from Bridgestone Arena. Again, the Predators tonight open up against Dallas right here, 1025, 1063 The Game.
What's Saros' status for tonight?
We'll see this morning. We'll get a skate and see how he's doing. You know, with obviously with Juice, you know, he's as competitive as anybody. He's going to try to be out there, so we hope to see him.
Andrew Burnett this morning. How about that, Ian? Paul Kaharsky asking a hockey question.
Big J, journalism from PK there.
I mean, what's going on here? Paul Kaharsky asking questions about the hockey team and asking a very good one about UC Saros. Apparently UC Saros day-to-day and all the indications. Ian, is it official that Saros is out for tonight yet?
No.
Okay, so it's not official, and you heard Burnett this morning on with the morning show, and he said, you know, he's going to try to give it a go tonight. We'll shall see. I mean, I got a pretty good feeling that when Barry Trotz sits down with us at 5 o'clock today, Barry Trotz probably going to tell Saros ain't playing. And it's a bummer only because it's the first game of the year, and it's kind of like, you know, opening day in baseball. You know, who's getting the ball on opening day? It's always your ace pitcher. You always want to see the number one goaltender go out there again on opening day. But I'm not sure I really care about this. You know, well, Scott Woodward's going to play tonight, and then who knows if Scott Woodward's any good or not. And, you know, Kevin Lankinen, he sat out there in free agency like a vegetable out in the grocery store that nobody picked, just rotten away. He was a pretty good backup goaltender. We'll see Scott Wedgwood. But, again, that is, again, micro. And we're here talking macro today. Let me say this about Saros. This is a pay-what-you-owe season. Because he is a very polarizing figure with this fan base. He is not a very polarizing figure with the organization. I don't think there's any reservation between Barry Trotz, Andrew Burnett, anybody, about whether or not the players, whether or not Saros is the man. And I got to tell you, like, I'm not convinced he is. I mean, look, the 774 that he's got on his new contract is better than Jeremy Swayman in Boston. Did you see how much money Jeremy Swayman signed for?
Over 8.25, I believe.
8.25. I think he's an average goalie. Like, he's good, but he's like any of these other guys.
He's not very proven either.
Yeah, if they get hot, then they can be the man, and if they're not, then they're not. Now, I guess I didn't see the Amazon documentary, but apparently Swayman in there was talking about all the things the Bruins used against him in arbitration, and one was that he didn't win in the playoffs, and he was like, well, we beat Toronto in 7 games this year. Check. And it's like, well, he did win a playoff series.
Yeah, and he got the 8 years. And he got the 8 years, so that's long.
Again, 8-2-5, and I do think that Soros might be the better goaltender than Swayman. So, again, the deal's not a bad deal, but it was the commitment of the deal. I wasn't ready to make that. I wasn't ready to make that commitment to UC Soros. But the team thinks higher of him than I do. I knew when they signed him to a contract, and I heard the way I was told was, hey, the trade protection is pretty tight early on, but then it opens up towards the end. And the impression I got was, you know, it's probably tight for about 3 or 4 years. Now, it's tight for 7 of 8 years. It's like, okay, well, the Askarov kid, like, it's not. Soros is the guy. The Predators were ready to say after last year, Soros is our guy, and I wasn't ready to say it. They think he is a legit franchise ace, the same way Pecorine was a legit franchise ace. The same way the New York Rangers, for instance, look at Shesterkin. Like, they think they can win any game, anytime, because they've got Shesterkin in net. And there may be something to that. Well, here's the thing about Soros. The team may be all in. The team may think he is Pecorine. I don't. Not yet. I was disappointed in the Vancouver series that he didn't play better. And it is a reality. Whether you like it or not, it is a fact that UC Soros has never won a playoff series. Now, we can make arguments that the team wasn't good enough. And there is probably some logic to that. But Pecorine stole a series when the team wasn't good enough in 2011. So you can't tell me, like, hey, you know, well, it's all the team's fault. Again, if he's a league average goalie, I can go get a league average goalie. But again, they think he's elite. Willie and Chris Mason. And again, anybody who draws a paycheck from the Predators. Now, I don't think this is like the Titans where everybody says Will Levis is good, even though, again, we all watch Will Levis on Sundays. I really think that the Predators believe this. And they might be right. Like, I'm open to the idea that Soros is a franchise ace, and when given the opportunity with a Stamkos on his team and with a Marchessault on his team and with Brady Shea in front of him, and that given the chance, he will operate like it. It's possible. But I haven't seen it yet. So it's hard for me to get excited about it when, again, I haven't seen it. The point I'm making here is the fan base, I am convinced, is not sold. The fan base was 50-50. We took your calls. We took your texts. I mean, half the radio station. It was a civil war this offseason at 102.5 The Game. Jared Stillman, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Caroline Fenton versus Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Ian Safar. Those three believed. Everybody else, which, again, takes me back to reality. Soros isn't going anywhere. So it would be disingenuous for me to get up here and say, well, this is a prove-it year for UC Soros, or next year he's getting paid $7.74 million and has a full no move. And it's going to be that way for 6 years after that. So you're committed to him for 8 years. I'm just going to tell you this right now. If Soros doesn't deliver this year, it's going to get loud. And it's going to be, this is, you know, Barry Trotz. And I love Barry Trotz. I think he's a good GM. But this is kind of the first big move Barry Trotz made, where it's like, hey, if this doesn't work, you have no recourse. If Soros isn't the guy, if Soros continues to lose in the playoffs, for whatever reason it may be, if Soros gives up goals the way he did in Game 4 of the Vancouver series, where I get it, they're pressuring and a guy falls down and they're 6-on-5 and the Predators don't clear the puck and I think it was Jankowski that just ate it, it doesn't matter. You're the goalie. You have to stop. At some point, it's up to you. And we saw Pecorine steal games and steal series. That's the job now for UC Soros. And again, I keep telling you, I'm unconvinced that he is that. No matter how much Chris Mason tells me, no matter how much Willie tells me, no matter how much the Predators tell me, I am not convinced of it. And I think the fan base feels the same way. I think the fan base likes Soros. I like Soros. But there's a difference between I like you and I'm committing to you for 9 years. And that's essentially what the Predators did. And so the pressure on Soros is not the pressure if you want to keep your job or if you want to get paid. Those are done. The pressure for me is you're going to turn into Kyle Turris if you don't start performing in the playoffs when it matters. And so this is a big year. Again, that doesn't bother me that he's not playing tonight. Again, I'd like to see him out there because I want to see, you know, again, the excitement on July 1st of all the moves they made. And they went out and they got the three new guys and they got Forsberg and Josi together. And we're going to see that first line together and Tommy Novak. We're going to see if he's any good playing center this year. Like, I want to, yes, but at the same time, I mean, Soros isn't going to play, so we're not going to get to see all of it? Or we're speculating he won't play? But again, the big picture for the season, it's time for him to show it, or else fans like me are going to be upset with the team that they committed to this guy when, again, we like him, but I don't think we love him enough to commit to him. And I think that's the difference. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to your phones. 615-737-1025 here on the program. If you want to weigh in here on Stillman & Company, get live at Bridgestone Arena where the Predators take on Dallas tonight. By the way, we do have a pair of tickets to give away. We're not giving them away now. Every hour.
That's right. Four total.
Every hour we got a pair. So now we are going to give them away here at some point very, very soon. Every hour today, we'll give away a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken on Tuesday, October 15th. So again, if you're not going tonight, but you want to go Tuesday, we're giving away four pairs of tickets. Damn, that's a lot of tickets. So be excited about that. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 6:45 for our college football game of the week. Vandy and Kentucky, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports.
Well, I was extremely impressed with all their new guys, you know, Stammer in particular. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, scored millions of goals. To come in and to embrace the work that we put into, to come in, and they all did, but I think with Stammer, for me particularly, really stood out because here's a guy that's been as decorated as anybody in this league. He's been a captain. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's scored 50 goals umpteen times. And to come in and embrace it and bring it every day, I think that, to me, for any young kid watching and learning the Evangelista, is if this guy comes in and works like that, how can I not? So I think that leadership stood out, and that really stood out to me. Obviously, both Marchie and Brady, they come from organizations that won, and they brought that attitude into the first day of camp, and it's kind of carried through. So I think that's how the buy-in, kind of materialized and began here with our group.
There you go. That was Andrew Burnett earlier today talking about the new guys who will be out there for the Predators as they take on the Dallas Stars. And again, my thing right now, I think they're a legitimate cup contender, and I think if you are a team that can make it to the second round, you can win it. And I expect them to be in the second round this year. And I think a team that they would be taking on, you know, for that first or second spot in the division might be Dallas tonight. 615-737-1025 on our phone lines, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. First, though, let me tell you, the Predators were nice enough to drop by the Relentless Barbecue Sandwich with Chips, which will be at the barbecue stand at 101 and I guess probably throughout the arena. Pulled pork, smoked chicken, and brisket on a toasted 8-inch hoagie. My God, that is something. With house-made aioli, I don't know how to pronounce that word. Aioli.
Aioli.
That's, aioli, yeah. You know, the little cream sauce. With a side of house-made chips. And they also have the breakaway burger at the burger stands, an 8-ounce beef patty with cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomato, sliced onions, pickles, sliced bacon, with the house-made Pred sauce, which is their version of a Thousand Island dressing. So, again, they're going to have the new eats out here. I am actually, we got new tables out here at Barrel House. I think these came up from the Lexus Lounge. I could be wrong. But these are brand new tables out here. I mean, it's actually very nice. All right, let's go to your phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Adam in Portland's been waiting patiently. He's going to kick us off on UC Soros. Thank you for calling, and thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I don't think it's fair to be super critical of UC if he has problems. Just because if you go back to last year, a lot of the shots that he took on were point-blank range. And I don't think I know Brady Shea is supposed to be good. I'll have to trust you for it. I've never heard his name before. But even so, man, he's not going to be on the ice for 60 minutes. So the whole point, like, if you add his scorers, cool. But, like, Soros is still going to take point-blank range shots because they didn't do a whole lot to upgrade the defense other than one player. So I don't know. I give him a little break and a little flag just because I don't think his defense necessarily got a lot better.
So I disagree with that because I do think the forwards they brought in also play defense.
Yeah, you're talking about Stamkos and Marchessault. You think they're good enough?
Specifically Marchessault.
I don't know, dude.
But
that's all I'm saying, man. Like, I'm looking at it like from the big picture. Yes, Soros is here regardless, but like he's got a built-in excuse because they added offense instead of defense. That's my thing.
So I have two thoughts on that, Adam. Thank you. Number one, I believe that again, all that matters around here is winning. And we've talked about this with quarterbacks, and it's kind of the same with goaltending. If UC Soros allows 3 goals a game, but you only scored 2, people are going to be mad that UC Soros doesn't win. If UC Soros allows 3 goals a game and you win and you score 4, everybody here will say, we got the best goalie in the league. And you know how that works. So I do think by having an elite power play, that is going to benefit Soros. I think the second part of it is I do think Marchessault does upgrade what they do defensively. And so I think that helps. You know, Peter Laviolette told me one time, he's like, everybody makes a big deal about the defenseman on defense. And he's like, and I get it. But the other guys play defense too. Now, you know, Tommy Novak, I'm a little worried about defensively. And I don't know what Stamkos is as a defensive player. I know Marchessault is a very good two-way player. And so I think that'll help a little bit. Here's my problem, though. I guess when it comes to this idea about like, well, you know what, now it's not on Soros and it's not on, it's always on the goalie. It's always on the goalie. Unless you're Edmonton, and even then. I mean, Edmonton, Kenny Holland was the general manager in Edmonton. And I don't know Kenny Holland very well, but I have met him, and I think he's a good man. And he obviously did a good job because they got to Game 7 of the Cup Final. But they fired him. Well, they didn't renew his contract. Semantics, right? And the reason they didn't renew his contract is because he signed a goalie to a big contract after a half a good season in Toronto. Was his name Jack Campbell, Ian? Was that the goalie that Ken Holland spent all that money on in Edmonton who stinks?
Yes.
Jack Campbell had like a half a good season. I'm right about that in Toronto. Half a
Toronto.
Good year?
Yeah, maybe more than half. Maybe a full good year.
Okay. Signed him to a huge contract, and he stunk. And so, and I think they never really forgave him for that. So he got the boot. So again, I mean, the goalie's always a big part of this. Let's go to, we haven't talked to Mookie in forever. Mookie is up next on UC Soros. Mookie, go ahead.
It has been a little minute. Jared, wanted to say I'm glad to see you still on, man. I've moved, so I was listening to you online, man. But I did want to tell you this.
You're a good man, Mookie.
Yeah, I appreciate your newfound reluctance to jump on Soros like you did another franchise type player in another sport. So it seems like you're using a little measured approach
with the pros
before you throw in, you know, all your support. So I guess our conversations must have worked.
Mookie, I got to tell you right now, I on occasion do think about you when it comes to Will Levis because – if you don't know, Mookie used to call in every day because I used to defend Mariota until the cows came home. Until they basically were in the AFC title game with Ryan Tannehill. And Mookie never let me forget it. All the time was always about Mariota. And I mean, I'm out on Will Levis. Mookie, like, I think he stinks. And I think that he's kind of a knucklehead out there. And I'm not sure that that's ever going to change. And I do think about how you were always on me, then I would never move off of Marcus and made every excuse in the book for Marcus.
Yes.
And now yes. I will not accept every excuse in the book that the Titans and everybody
exactly.
else sell on Will Levis.
Exactly. Well, Levis has nothing to do with it because we're in full agreement on Levis. Mm-hmm. But we had quarterbacks in the league that mirrored a lot of what Mariota did. And you just, because I felt like he was in Tennessee, you just, like, you made a lot of excuses for him, like you said. But I see this particular time with Soros, you're going to try to make him earn his keep. So maybe some of those conversations helped.
Mookie, you're a good man. Good to talk to you.
All right, bro.
Man, Ian, we haven't talked to Mookie in forever.
It's been a minute.
It's been like 5 years. You know, some of these guys that call the show every day, and then all of a sudden we don't hear from them very often, I do wonder, like, hey, are they doing okay? And so I know this is going to sound crazy because most people, again, probably weren't thinking about, man, is Mookie okay? Like, how's he doing? It's good to know that he's doing okay. But let me say this. I was an excuse maker when it came to Mariota. I'm just going to be honest with everybody out there. This show is about telling the truth. And I was an excuse maker. And maybe it was that burned me. Maybe it's my age, my skepticism. I don't know, but I really don't like making excuses. And when it comes to Soros, we've made every excuse. You know, I still have yet to hear a reasonable explanation for why he lost that Arizona bubble series. But again, everybody, he's going to have his job no matter what. I'm just saying it's going to be loud around here if he doesn't start winning. And I was a little surprised Adam in Portland, because I think Adam in Portland, you know, who again was like, I'm going to cut Soros some slack. I think he's been pretty hard on Soros over the years, if I'm not mistaken. Chase from White Bluff texts into the text line and says, Jared, I find it very hard to believe that you are convinced of anything. I feel if you were a Chiefs fan, you'd complain Mahomes didn't throw for enough yards in the Super Bowl that he won. So let me say this. A lot of people think that I am inherently negative, and that might be true. You know, I've told TD, I think on the air, maybe off the air, I can't remember, but I've told TD, you know, I think that because I was a kid and watched the Atlanta Braves every year and with Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine and John Smoltz, they'd win every night. They'd win 100 games. And then they'd get beat by some Scarbini Astro team in the division series. And so I just, you know, again, every little detail matters. And it's hard for me to just blindly get on board with anything. But when I was at the Super Bowl, the guy that I used to work for, the guy who owned the station in Louisville that I used to work at, also owns a station in Kansas City. And their table was right next to our table, and we spent a lot of time together. This is a very, very good man, Chad Boger, very good radio man too. And Chad told me one night at the Super Bowl this year, he said, you know, I'm going to go to the game on Sunday, but I've been invited to the Chiefs after party. You know, each team, win or lose, throws a big after party after the Super Bowl. Like Joe Burrow, after they lost the Super Bowl, is on stage with Kid Cudi, whoever that is. And so he was invited to the Chiefs after party, but he's like, but I'm going out of town, so I'm just going to fly the red eye after the Super Bowl and all. And I said, you're going to miss out on the after party? He goes, I've already been to two of them. It's a lot of fun, or three of them, or however many he's been. He's like, it's fun, but I've already done that. And I'm like, really? Like, that's Jason Anderson, who I used to work with in Louisville, now does the midday show out in Kansas City. He was like, yeah, I'm flying back on, I'm flying back on Friday after the show's over to Kansas City. I said, you're not going to the game. You're the biggest Chiefs fan I know. You're not going to the Super Bowl? He's like, nah. So I that's a long-winded way of saying that knowing me, if this were the Chiefs, I don't know how I'd react. I'll say this. The Braves won the World Series in 2021, and they've gotten bounced early in the playoffs the last 3 years, and I'm not that upset about it. You know, the first year, I'm like, I'm not going to be mad about anything because they just won the World Series. The next year, I was like, well, I think that this time off in baseball, you know, the 6 days off they take is all bull crap anyways. And then this year, their entire team was hurt. So I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I think I'll say this. If the Titans won the Super Bowl, the Preds won the Cup, I do think I'd lose some juice. Ian, I think I might lose a couple miles per hour on the fastball if these teams actually won anything around here.
Maybe.
I mean, it's like then you become the dog that caught the car. And I don't know how I'd react. Maybe it'd be like in Boston. When I was in Boston, or when I was in New Hampshire, you know, like very early on, I'd listen to the shows they'd have there, and these fans, they lost the AFC title game to the Ravens, and these fans were like, time to get rid of Belichick, and we need to move on to Ryan Mallett and kiss Brady goodbye. And I was like, man, my team's coached by Mike Munchak and has Jake Locker at quarterback. And these guys are like, Belichick. So who knows? 615-737-1025. More of your phones. Plus, they say tonight is a national TV game. But it's not even technically on TV. And I got a bone to pick with that. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025 here on our program if you want to weigh in. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And let me say this. You know, I need to go check out there on the ice. I'll do that. But that Hiller logo is usually right there at the center. They are proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. I know it's right there on the practice jersey because I saw Chris Mason when he had to play goal the other day with a Hiller patch right there on his practice uni. It is spooky season, and everyone's thinking about Halloween. This month, it's all treats and no tricks with my friends at Hiller. During their spooky good fall giveaway, get a free Blackstone griddle, free Solo Stove, or Yeti Tundra cooler with select home upgrades. Or enjoy $99 specials like an HVAC tune-up. Visit happyhiller.com for the details. I'm serious about using Hiller. I had them at my home yesterday, got two things done, bang, bang, bang. I thought it was perfect. It was awesome. They're so good. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Just excitement. Anytime, you know, you get to the first game of the season, no matter if it's your first or your 20th or whatever, it's always exciting. You always get those little butterflies that sometimes are tougher to come by the longer you're in this league, as you know what to expect. But this is always fun. I think this is probably a little more for me under the circumstance, but certainly an exciting day.
Steven Stamkos ahead of his Predators debut tonight. And I have a bone to pick, because if you want to watch the game tonight, you've got to watch the game on ESPN+. They'll have a national broadcast crew. I believe Bob Wischusen's calling the game. AJ Molesko is the analyst, you know, the national crew. And so it won't be Willie and Chris tonight, but Willie and Chris, I think, will be back on Saturday. By the way, the Hiller logo is right there in the center. But here's the bone I've got to pick. Number one, the NHL props up ESPN+ as if this is a nationally televised game. I remember a couple of months ago when the schedule came out and they were like, the Predators have 7 nationally televised games. ESPN+, 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 and TNT. I'm like, no. They have 1 nationally televised game, TNT. When you can turn on the TV and say, tune to TNT, and it will go to the game. That's one. And so this Furcotta idea that ESPN+ equals national TV is bullcrap. That is just a bone that drives me crazy. But regardless, the real bone I have to pick is I think it's pretty shameful that the NHL, and again, all these sports do it, so it's not just the NHL. Football's got a playoff game on Peacock. Basketball is going to have every other year a conference final streaming on Amazon. If you want to watch football tonight, you got to watch it on Amazon. But that's a random Thursday night football game. This is your team's home opener, season opener. And I think it's pretty shameful that the NHL would put it on a streamer and take it off of TV. So because I'm upset about this, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret on how to watch the Predators this year. Because a lot of people also don't have Bally Sports. Now, again, I don't do this, and I'm not saying you should do this, but I'm saying you can do this, or I've heard of people doing this.
Okay.
So every single Predators game that'll be on Bally Sports. If you're like me and you've got YouTube TV or you've got Hulu or anything except for the expensive package on Xfinity, which Ian apparently already pays for, but again, Ian's rolling. The expensive package on Xfinity, DirecTV, their streamers, or Fubo, which doesn't have TNT. Whatever. If you've got that, you can get Bally Sports. If not, the Preds games, out-of-market games, air on ESPN+. And you'll say, but Jared, the Predators are in market, so we're blacked out from watching the Predators on ESPN Plus, which is true. Now, let me tell you a completely independent thought that has absolutely nothing to do with the Predators, ESPN Plus, or watching the games. Ian, if I made myself clear, this is completely independent and has nothing to do with anything that
yes.
we just talked about. Think of it like we're going to talk about Todd Downing. We're not, but think about that. If you've got what's called a VPN, you can, like, you can get a NordVPN, you know, has them, whatever. If you've got a VPN, you can, for security reasons, obviously, mask your location. For instance, you can say, I'm in Phoenix. And that way, the hackers and scammers and everything else can't track your data. Well, that doesn't, you know, again, it's a completely independent thought of anything else. But, you know, again, you can send an internet signal saying, I'm in Phoenix today. And I don't think Phoenix is within the Nashville television market, if I had to guess. Phoenix, Atlanta, Seattle, Chicago, Miami, Houston, etc. And so, while I don't do that, I'm just saying. And I think this whole Bally Sports Ponzi scheme, like the Bally Sports has a deal with the NBA and the NHL, which means their games will be on for one more year. But Bally Sports right now may not exist in a couple of months. They're trying to get rid of all their baseball contracts, except the Atlanta Braves. And I don't think that's going to work. I just think it's so, I'm angry. Like, I'm angry for the fans that here's this big game tonight, and boy, you better have ESPN Plus. If you want to get excited about the season, and you want to watch the three new guys on the Predators, and you want to see, you better have ESPN Plus. You better pay for it. And it's like, and I get it, because ESPN wants people to become, you know, ESPN Plus members. Got it. Makes sense. And at the same time, you know, the NHL wants as much money as it can get for the TV rights, just like all the other sports. So they're saying, okay, you know, hey, you guys get to pick the games, and we can't tell them not to pick the season opener. But it is a season opener. And you're putting it on a streamer? Telling fans that we got to pay more money to watch? Like, at some point, I just wish one person in sports, and I don't know who it's going to be. You know, at one point, there were owners in the NFL in 1992 or whatever year it was, before Fox got the NFC rights, that when Fox offered $400 million to broadcast the NFC, that almost went and took $250 million from CBS. That they almost took $150 million less dollars. That's unfathomable today. Because the old guard ownership in the NFL thought there was value in being on CBS as opposed to Fox, which at the time was a fledgling network. Now, ultimately, the money ruled, and the NFL ended up going with Fox, as we all know. But I just, can one person in sports just stand up and say, you know what? We're going to take care of the fans. And I'm not mad at the Predators, by the way, when I say this, because, look, the Predators are dealt the hand they're dealt with Bally Sports and all their problems and the NHL's national TV deal, which technically this isn't a national TV game. But also independently, VPNs mask where your location is for your safety. So just keep that in mind, too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on our program. We do have a lot of phones, you know, a lot of text messages that we didn't get to, but that's okay. Coming up next, a massive, I mean massive red flag about something that was said by the Titans quarterback yesterday. And the why is the big question. The why is explained, but whew, we'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.